Good morning. You listen to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is John Ball, who's managing director with Stiefel Nicholas. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Kemp, and you?
I'm doing well. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday 13th.
Yeah, that's right. So you've been on the road this week, and you've been up to Lancaster. You've been visiting with Matt Espy at Armstrong, and thought it'd be good to catch up and get a little take out of that meeting. Obviously, we've run the news that in the course of the next year, they're going to split their ceiling business and their flooring business and end up with two publicly traded companies. Why don't you give us a little bit of a take of what has to happen for them to be successful in the flooring business?
Yeah, they will split the two companies. Physically, what will happen is flooring will spin out from ceilings and we'll have two separate public companies. It'll take about a year, by the way, for that to all unfold. And then in the interim, we're not sure how much debt is going to be allocated to the flooring business versus ceiling. And likewise, we don't know precisely what the overhead costs will be. But flooring will stand alone. And interesting, the flooring business is not, you know, one business. Obviously, there are two general products, vinyl and wood. And then within that, they're in, you know, residential and commercial. I think if you were to look at Armstrong's business from a commercial perspective on a flooring basis only, it's quite healthy. They have high margins. I think demand is relatively flat, maybe going to trend up a little bit here. As Matt Espy says, all the drama is in residential flooring and in particular wood, although their felt back sheet business is obviously under some pressure, but it's really where the margins have eroded in the wood flooring category. Most of that, of course, is residential, very little commercially sold in the wood category. And, you know, that's been the challenge. How easy is it to fix it? You know, I think the vicious pricing that we saw unfold in the second half of calendar 14 has probably settled out a little bit. As you know, there were dislocations with rising lumber costs. Armstrong was trying to recapture that lost margin and then had to reverse course from raising prices to actually lowering prices as they were losing market share. So I would describe it as they're going back to their customer base. They're trying to work with customers where they can, i.e., get in on some pricing, work with promotional deals to gain back some share. I think they lost last year. And it's going to be a tough climb out if we don't get some macro help, particularly on the new construction side.
Let me point out that they're in those two markets. They're also still the leaders in those two markets. I mean, I think our estimate is that in the U.S. hardwood flooring sales around $465 million. And their resilience sales around 455. So, you know, still the leaders in those two categories, and that is rolled up both commercial and residential. We've got to remember, too, Armstrong, you know, been around for over 100 years in flooring, I think since 1909, and they've played in every surface. They've played in carpet. They've played in ceramic tile. Now they're focused in those areas with a little in laminate. Let me just ask you, because I know you follow the publicly traded companies and the whole interiors market. This one-year positioning and split up, that's kind of normal for how long that takes, isn't it?
Unfortunately, yeah, there's an involved process, as you could imagine, in extracting two companies from one. One thing I would point out, and you're right, they're still a leader, as best I know, in both vinyl and wood. But they're leaders in terms of position. They're more exposure in the felt back, not glass back. And as you know, felt back is giving share to glass back.
Right.
And in wood, there were bigger player in solids than in engineered. And engineered is where the growth is. So while they're playing in engineered and they're playing in glass back, they have relatively stronger positions in the categories that are shrinking. And I think that apart from the macro and all the other factors I talked about, is an additional headwind they face. But they're bringing out of the ground in Lancaster the new LVT line that will be, I think, spitting out product in July. And I know they're excited about that. They just brought their engineered wood flooring back to the U.S. and actually closed a Chinese factory. They've got a random machine, essentially, that can replicate those hand-scraped and chattered looks. So I think they're excited about building from here. But again, they're starting, unfortunately, with a little bit of a short stack in that they're big in a couple of categories that continue secularly to shrink. Mm-hmm.
Well, and when you met with him yesterday, was Don Meyer there?
No, it was just Matt.
Because I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago about this same story, and you know, you could hear the optimism and energy in his voice. And you know, I've talked to several of the employees that are in senior management there, and they're feeling good about the fact that they no longer are going to have to compete for internal investments, that they potentially focus solely in this business might have a new lease on life.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I met with Don at the end of January out of Vegas. And yeah, I think there's a lot of enthusiasm. That was before they announced the spin. But yeah, I think it'll probably be a good thing. I wouldn't say that the flooring division was starved for capital. Mm-hmm. Frankly, the businesses, I think, got relatively equal share of capital. Maybe flooring even got a little more. Hard to say. I guess ceilings probably got a little more. I think the plant in Russia they built and ceilings is pretty expensive. But, you know, I wouldn't say it's so much that. But yeah, they should get a capital structure, I think, that will support their business. And it's always better to be a standalone business, I think, more focused. So, yeah, I could certainly believe that, although I haven't been able to talk to Don since the spinoff was announced.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have the brands. They've got the awareness of the brands. So we'll just have to wait and see. And so I guess the next process is they have to build the story that will sell to the investor market.
Yeah, I think obviously a year is a while, but I think the focus is clearly going to be on the residential side. The commercial side of flooring, as I said, is very profitable. I think the outlook there is good. You know, we'll see whether or not this Lumber Liquidators issue, if they stand to gain maybe some presence as a result of that, but certainly Lumber Liquidators at retail has taken share over the last few years from many of Armstrong's retail customers. So it'll be interesting to watch that dynamic. But yeah, the bottom line is we need to see wood pricing settle in and better margins out of that side of the business. And I'm anxious to see that. I'm sure management is. It'll probably take a little time, but you know, they have a year before they're standalone. So hopefully by then, things are heading in the right direction.
All right, let's take a look at it again then. Good to talk to you. Again, been talking to John Ball, who's managing director with Stifel Nicolaus, about Armstrong's decision to spin off their flooring business. And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloridaAlley.net.